Good morning. We're going to be taking a break from our regularly scheduled program that we've been pursuing in the book of Joshua to consider the season that we're in. I want to speak to you this morning about Christmas. We're going to be in a lot of places in the scripture, and they're going to have them up on the screen for you. There was a Sunday school class that was having a white elephant Christmas party for their Sunday school class, and they were having a good time, and the leaders of the Sunday school class had brought their gifts. You know, everybody brought a gift for themselves, and they were exchanging them, and they could see the package that was up on the table that belonged to them, and they were just anxious for someone to get it because they had something interesting in there, and sure enough, somebody picked it, but when they opened it up, instead of pulling out what they had placed in there, they actually pulled out a baby Jesus about that long, which almost identically matched the baby Jesus in the Sunday school teacher's house. And so they were trying to figure, is that our baby Jesus? And they started looking at it, thinking, they're pretty sure it was. And so they brought it back, and sure enough, the only thing missing in their manger scene was the baby Jesus. And the best they can understand is that the packages have been sitting, the bags have been sitting next to the table, and somehow another baby Jesus fell off the table and fell into the bag. And anyway, it was just something worth a laugh momentarily. And the guy later on, reflecting on the whole circumstance, sort of thinking, you know, isn't it though about right? Isn't that about where baby Jesus is anymore? It seems in Christmas, everybody they accept all the trappings of Christmas: Mary and Joseph and wise men, shepherds. Even a baby, but the person of Christ has been relegated. The significance of God becoming flesh has been relegated to sort of white elephant status, hasn't it, in some ways? Anyway, he just thought it was a very interesting point. The story of Christmas, though, is actually very simple and yet very confounding. Here it is, just in straightforward terms, maybe the shortest Christmas story you've ever read, right here in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, referring to Christ, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas. That's what happened. All the other things that we discuss, the wise men and the manger and all this kind of stuff, is really, I mean, it's not irrelevant, but it's just sort of fluff, because this is the real issue right here. The real issue is that the God of heaven, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-everywhere, everlasting God, became like us. That's the story of Christmas, isn't it? And the question that I want to deal with this morning is the question of why. Why did he do it? And, of course, you know, I have a doctorate degree, working on a second doctorate degree, so we can get way off into this theological quagmire of all, there are good reasons. There are really good ones out there that, you know, if I knew you weren't caught up on your sleep, I would give you an opportunity to snooze. But we're not going to do that this morning, because I'm convinced that the simple answers may be the most profound, especially when it comes to the incarnation, when God became flesh. I think the simplest answers are the biggest ones. I think they're the best ones. So I'm going to give you just two reasons this morning. Only two simple reasons. The answer to the question of why God became flesh. The first reason is just very simply, to communicate to us what he was like in person. To communicate to us what he was like in person. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, and in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. God has sent messages. He sent messengers. But then he decided, you know what? God, I'm going to come to you myself. See you face to face. So that we can know what he's like. No longer trying to tell us about himself through some other person or some other avenue or through some writings. Not that there was anything wrong with that, but the ultimate revelation of God is when God steps into this planet as one of us. Says, here I am. Talk to me. Touch me. Imagine that. Hug my neck. Kiss my cheek. Pat me on the head. Or let me do the same to you. It's amazing. It really is. You consider the incarnation. The first Christmas, God became tangible. Before that, he had been at best aloof. I mean, no one could see him. Very few heard his voice. No one ever touched him. Not that they ever could. And all that changed that first Christmas. it all changed. This is what it says again later in the book of Hebrews. It says, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the world. He is, speaking of Jesus, the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. It's for that reason that Jesus said this: if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, he says, you know him and have seen him. He who has seen me has seen the Father. You imagine sitting there as a disciple thinking, wow, I think I gave him the evil eye the other day. I don't know. Trying to review, wow, how have I looked at him before this? They didn't, I don't think they, I think when he said it, even then, I mean, would you have gotten it? To me, God is just something altogether other, and he indeed is all that in every way. But he also became just like us, still is just like us. Jesus resurrected as a man sitting on the throne of heaven today. A man is. He became just like us and stayed just like us so that we could know what he was like, so that we could have firsthand knowledge, so that we could see him face to face, eye to eye. I was reading a story in a magazine written by a pastor, and he was talking about his understanding of this in a very unique way. He said his son loves for him to do the same things as his son does. For instance, he says, my son will come out in a blue shirt. He wants me to go put on a blue shirt. And when I put on the blue shirt, he said, my son will say to me, see, Dad, same. A little four-year-old, same, Dad. We're the same. Now, he loves it when his dad, you know, in some ways condescends to his level. He said, when we play living room football, he wants me to play it on my knees. Because then it's more or less eye-to-eye. In fact, sometimes when we play living room football, he can put his arm around me and say, see, Dad, same. Same. He likes it when they're the same, when he feels like his dad is entering his world, if you will. And he said one time he fell. He was working in the garden. He fell and skinned his knee, and he was in the bathroom cleaning it up, and his son came and rolled up his pants and said, showed him his scratch. He said, see, Dad, same. Well, that's exactly what happened in the incarnation. God became same to us. He came down to our level. He came down to look us in the eye so that we could know what he was like. It's simple, but it, as I said, it is definitely profound. God became same. He didn't have to. No one asked him to. Read in the Old Testament one place where someone asked God, God, become like us. No one even has that concept. No one even had the sense to even ask. God found the reason within himself. He didn't find the reason within us. He didn't say, these people deserve for me to become like them. No, we don't deserve anything. In fact, we do deserve some things, but none of them are good. He wanted to become like us. He found the reason within himself. The scripture teaches us that God is love, and love wants to express itself. Love wants to be known by the object of that love. And so God became like us in his person of his son. He became flesh and dwelt among us so we can understand what he was truly like. And then the second reason. Second reason why God became flesh was to show us not only so that we can know what he was like, but to show us that he already knew what we were like. That he knew. That he knows us. To demonstrate to us, it is impossible for us to comprehend that a God in heaven could understand what the human existence is like. But if you really know who God is, you understand he's never learned anything, ever. I mean, you can do things that God can't do. You can learn. God cannot learn. But there's nothing he never comes up on something and says, oh, wow, I never knew that. That's not God. God has always known. He's always known what it's like to be like us, but he became like us to give that demonstration. Familiar with the television series called Undercover Boss? Anybody ever watch it? We watch it sometimes. It actually is very interesting. I find it very interesting. It's refreshing. It's one of the things that I could recommend on television. There's not many things like that I could recommend. One of these shows, though, is Undercover Boss, and it's where these executives, these CEOs, CFOs, owners of companies leave their boardrooms and their corner offices, and they come and they work in the factories with their employees, or work in the stores, or work in the place where their product is produced, and they come in as just a regular employee in disguise. And they come in and work with this employee, and it usually leads to some revelations on the part of the boss and on the part of the employee. Well, that's what happened in some ways when God came to earth, the boss, if you will, of the universe, owns it all, runs it all, came and became the least among us. The smallest among us he became, just like us. And it's similar in some ways to Undercover Boss, in other ways not. Like I said, in the case of Undercover Boss, the boss had some things to learn and the employees had some things to learn. But in the case of God, God has nothing to learn. We had everything to learn. And when he became like us, when he became flesh, we see, yeah, he does know my situation. Someone put it this way. They call it the Jehovah to Emmanuel principle. The Jehovah to Emmanuel principle. Jehovah is the name of God, his covenant name with the nation of Israel, the high and holy and altogether other God, which he indeed is, and totally separate and not like us at all in every way. But Emmanuel is his other name. It means God with us. And that's what happened. The altogether separate God became one of us. He became tangible. He walked with us. He talked with us. He held our hand. He bore our sins. He became like us. That's the message of Christmas. Like I said, as simple as it is extremely profound. It really is. We can be certain, no matter what stage we are in life, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can be certain that God understands us. A child can be certain that God understands him or her. Why? Because God became a child. God became a child. He didn't just become a child. He became a baby. He became. You imagine this, the all-infinite Word put himself in a position where he could not speak. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't like the baby Jesus could, you know, rattle on, lay it in the manger. He was a baby. It wasn't like he can control his bladder either. God, the very God of heaven, made himself this way. Couldn't eat solid food. Made himself dependent upon a poverty-stricken couple for protection and for love. You imagine that. I mean, it just blows my mind to consider something like that. You'd be certain if you're a child that God understands you. You'd be certain if you're a teenager that God understands you. You know, one of the main mantras of most teenagers is, my parents don't understand me. And you know what? As a parent, I will say, you're exactly right. We haven't the foggiest idea what's going on between your ears. Not at all. You're a foreigner. You're an alien from some other planet, speaking another language and thinking, who knows? Well, we don't even know. I'll be honest. We just haven't the slightest idea. Well, let me ask you this. God became a teenager. Imagine being God as a teenager. And you think your parents don't understand you? Oh, boy. He understands what you're going through, doesn't he, if you're a teenager? He understands that. And for the rest of us who've fallen out of all the carefree days of youth and fallen off into the abyss of the weight of family and jobs and income and problems and all these other things, God has been where you and I are. God knows our situation. God knows our circumstances because he became like us. And he went through the same things, tested in every way, the scripture says. Says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Tempted, that word also could be maybe better translated as tested. Tested in every way. Tempted to sin, tested through trials. I mean, consider the situation. You know, like I said, we've fallen out of the carefree days of youth because we've fallen into what we call the prime of life. And someone described the prime of life this way. He said, the prime of life is better described as prime rib because everybody wants a piece of you, don't they? It was all nice. It was all good. And then you got married. And then you had kids. And then you got a job. And then you got a mortgage. And then you got a car payment. And then you got this stuff, and then you got that stuff, and you got these people calling, and then you got these responsibilities, and then you chair this committee, and then you do that. And then, like I said, you're just pulled in every single direction. Let me just say something to all of us who are that way. God understands us. God has been where we are. He has done that. From all indications, Jesus' father dies when he's young. So guess what happens? As the oldest son, all the weight's on him. He has to make the ends meet. His mother cannot get a job. In addition, she's already had four or five kids, and so she's taking care of those kids. Who's the head of the household? He is. He's the carpenter. He's the leader. He's the one that's got to make it happen. If there's going to be food on the table, he's the one that provides it. Some of the reasons why you don't see Jesus until he's 30 years old is because he has to live that long until his younger brothers are old enough to take over the business and support his mother. And so you don't see him till he's 30 because he's got to wait that long. He's got younger brothers who James, you got two of them in your scriptures, James and Jude, who are both of his brothers, both biological, at least half brothers to him. So they're old enough to take up this position of responsibility. I mean, you think about it. Anybody care for an ailing parent? Yeah. A lot of us in that situation, aren't we? Difficult, isn't it? Get this. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He sees his mother. He tells John, his disciple, take care of my mother now. You're responsible for her. He's providing adult health care for his mother hanging on the cross. I mean, you think you're pulling a lot of directions. He understands. He's been there. He's been through it. Throughout his entire ministry, people pulled him. Like I said, you feel like a piece of prime rib? Try letting everybody know that you can heal all diseases, mental, physical, spiritual. The word gets out. Watch what happens to your personal time. Watch what happens to your vacation time. Watch what happens to all these things. Everybody thinks they own you now because you have these abilities, you have these skills. I mean, we've been pulled, right? Haven't we? But let me tell you something. He knows where you're coming from. He did all that, and he saved the world in the process. That's the story of Christmas. He became like us. He knows your situation. He understands. He's been there. You got a trial or difficulty, I guarantee you, he's been through something similar. So you don't have this God who does not know you. You have a God that knows you very well. Now, like I said, he had nothing to learn. He already knew all these things because he is the all-knowing, all-everywhere God at all times. And so it wasn't like he was lacking information, but now we have tangible evidence. He's proven it. He knows us. He loves us. Because how do we know it? Because we have no way to argue it, because he became like us. This is why he became a man, so that we could know him. And so that he could know us. So we could know what the psalmist David wrote so many years ago in Psalm 139. This is what he said. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. For you created my inmost being, he says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw that my unformed body, all the days ordained for me, he says, were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows us. God knows you. One of the most difficult things of life sometimes, it seems, is feeling like you're all, nobody knows your situation. I'm all by myself. And it may be true. I hope it's not. But life experience just simply means that you are a unique person. But there is a unique God who is absolutely aware, absolutely familiar of all the things that you're going through. He's right there with you. See, the beauty of Christianity is that we have God with us all the time. Jesus became Emmanuel, right, 2,000 years ago. He took on flesh and bone, but he says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I and the Father will make our abode with you forever. Jesus, yes, is in heaven with the Father, but nonetheless, through the Holy Spirit, his presence is here with us, speaking to us. He knows your personal needs. You've come here with questions this morning. I guarantee you, I cannot answer those questions. I don't know what they are, first of all. But I'm so full of my own. I'm so full of questions myself that I'm having difficult trouble myself. And so we come together not because we have the ability to fix each other. No, we don't have that ability. We come together because we believe that there is a God who fixes us. He knows us. He knows my needs. He understands my questions. Before I ask them, he knows. He knows the end before the beginning starts, doesn't he? So even though I'm in the cloud of uncertainty, he already sees the end. He knows how it's going to work out. I can trust him. There's assurance in that. That's what Christmas is about. The God of heaven knows us. You know, someone said, and that is heaven, is it not? That we can know him and that he can know us. You know, that is the message of salvation. What happens in sin is we're separated from him. He can no longer see us because our sin separates us from him. And we can no longer know him. That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us, not just to become a man, but to lay down his life for us so that that bond could be reunited. The ultimate question of heaven is not how good a person you are. God's going to be interested in those things, but that's not going to be your entrance, not going to be your ticket. The ultimate question of heaven is, do you know me? Do you know me? Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not work miracles? And he would say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's all about knowing him, isn't it? It's not about coming to church, even though he wants us to do that. It's not about doing good things, even though God wants us to do those things. It's about knowing him. Someone put it this way. If you say you know God, well, let me ask you something. If he walked through those back doors, would he say, I know you? See, there has to come a place in your life, there has to come a time in your life where you have not been around others who know Christ personally, but where you have made a personal commitment to him. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have said to Jesus, I want you to be my Savior? You are the Savior. You are the Lord, but I want you to be my Savior and Lord. Has there ever come a time in life where you've trusted him personally? The Bible teaches over and over again, you must do that, so that you not stand before him someday and he say, I never knew you. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. The whole message of Christmas is that God has come so that we can know him. Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you ever asked him to be your Savior? Have you ever trusted him? I'm not asking if you're a good person or if you're a church person. Now, obviously, you are those things. I'm asking you the ultimate question of heaven. Do you know him? One of these days, you're going to pass out of this life, and you're going to stand before him, and that's going to be the question, and you need a good answer. Do you know him? Jesus is the Savior, but is he your Savior? Ask him to be your Savior today, if you haven't already. Ask him to be your Savior today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have come so that we can know you, so that we could touch you, so that we could see you. I thank you that heaven's going to be as it says in Revelation, and those who belong to him will see his face. Lord, we long for that day. We thank you for coming. We thank you that you're here now, even with us in spirit, living inside of us and present in this room to answer our questions, to meet our needs, to deal with our problems and our circumstances and our situations. Thank you for being the all-present God. Thank you that we can know you and that we can know that you know us. Thank you for the blessing of Christmas. I pray, God, that we would just wrap ourselves up in that blessing and we would allow it to deal with the questions and the needs that we have. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand with me this morning. Do you know him? Have you been availing yourself of that knowledge? The God of heaven knows you. Turn to him today. Trust him today. Let him carry your burdens today. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. So we sing together. I'll be standing here. I'd love to pray with you, speak with you. You come as we sing.